Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas. I'm Barbara Little, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Bishop Mulvey is away on a much-needed vacation, and so we're going to have a program that initially aired 3 years ago on this same Sunday in the liturgical calendar. We'll hear that program right after this message, so please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Each of us is called to holiness through baptism. Once we experience God in our hearts, we yearn to bring Him closer. Deep prayer allows us to do that. Making a commitment to develop a deeper prayer life is a major step in that process. Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center invites us to experience a personal encounter with Jesus through a 3-day silent retreat. To communicate with God in complete silence. This affords us the greatest opportunity to know Him, His heart, and His will for each of us. Separate silent retreats for men and women are scheduled approximately every other month at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center. For complete information and to sign up for the next silent retreat, visit deepprayer.org. Start your journey now at deepprayer.org.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop Mulvey. How are you?
I'm well, Barbara. How are you?
Fine, thank you, and welcome back.
Thank you, yes.
We're going to want to hear all about your trip to Rome and your reunion with your classmates, but we'll do that at the second part of the show, if that's all right with you.
Sure, that'll take 5 programs to tell you everything, but I'll give you the short version.
Well, and you might want to edit a few, I'm
right,
sure,
exactly,
since you hadn't
sure.
seen some of your classmates. But we now have our new format where we're reading the gospel first and reflecting on it. So our gospel today is from Luke.
Great. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test him and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. But when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place. And when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, "Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back." "Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is a wonderful parable that we've heard so many times about the Good Samaritan, but there are a lot of different themes within this story.
Yes, there are. And you know, I think with these Gospels that we know so well that we could recite from memory, we probably at times don't really enter into the depth of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, we see it as just a kind of a moment of charity by one person, but there's so much to the story which Jesus is using to illustrate what is essential to our faith, to our religion. And it is always, of course, the core and the heart of our faith is charity, mm-hmm. and that charity has to be expressed concretely. So it's a gospel that really illustrates the depth of charity and how concrete it is. It's not just a feeling or a thought, and our faith is certainly not just a collection of truths, which it's that as well, but it all serves the fact that we love God and we love our neighbor. And that is, this gospel brings it out so beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the very first part of the gospel, too, sounds like the law scholar was just repeating things, like verbatim, right. Really didn't understand them, but was repeating them. So Jesus was challenging him a little bit by asking him this question and
exactly.
sharing this story.
Right, and I think, you know, the real key to all this is when he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?"
Right.
And I think there is where Jesus really spoke to him with this parable, but also speaks to each one of us, because we too can ask in order to accomplish or to fulfill the mandates of this gospel, who is my neighbor? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like to focus my own attention in a day. For example, you're my neighbor right now.
Right.
And, you know, if I'm not loving you now, then I'm not fulfilling the love of God and love of neighbor. If I'm waiting to love the next person, or if I'm at a restaurant, it's the waiter. You know, I think we get into the mode sometimes, well, I'm paying them, so they're serving me. Well, the Christian doesn't have that as their modus operandi. You know, we're always servants to each other. So the neighbor, I think Jesus, the way I interpret this, at least in a concrete terms, is the neighbor is the person who's in front of me in this present moment, not tomorrow, not yesterday, not 2 hours from now, but right now. So the person in front of me right now. And so if you're driving in the car right now on the way to church on this Sunday, and someone's cutting in front of you, that's your neighbor.
That's right.
And you have to love your neighbor. Mm-hmm. So that question, who is my neighbor? Jesus gives this story to explain the presence of a neighbor, and that is the person that is in front of you right now.
Because listening to the gospel, you would assume that the priest and the Levite would have stopped to help the man who was robbed, because we think of right. men who were of priestly vocations, that they would be helpful. And it wasn't that. It was right. the Samaritan who, and they were considered outcast.
Sure. Yes,
of society.
Exactly. They were apart from, and that's the unique side of mm-hmm. it, is that there was not somebody that Jesus would call your friend. You know, right. you love your friends and hate your enemies. It's not so much an enemy, but just somebody on the fringes of the society. And so, but, you know, I think you go back to the priest and the Levite, and they can kind of speak to us in the way that we probably have neglected our neighbor. It may not have been out of malice. They may have been in a hurry. Mm-hmm. I've got something to do, or I've got service in the temple. And so they're focused on something else. Mm-hmm. And because they're so focused on something else or someone else who's not in the present, they missed the opportunity to love a neighbor. And so I think, you know, we sometimes villainize people that, you know, didn't do what they were supposed to, but maybe we don't know what was going on inside of these other two. And Jesus certainly doesn't, it's a parable, so he certainly doesn't explain.
Right, right.
But it's an example to us that we can get so wrapped up in our own business or our own schedule or our own wants of what we want to do that we miss the simple person right next to us. I think how many times we've missed the beauty of speaking to a child because
right.
they're a child.
Right.
And so we miss that opportunity to love that child. But that's my neighbor.
Right.
Jesus didn't put an age limit on my neighbor. So it's the beauty, I think, this gospel of who is my neighbor, that mm-hmm. person in front of me right now.
Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful that the Samaritan said that he would, he wanted to pay for his stay, for the injured man's stay, and then if it wasn't enough, you know, he would come back and pay him more. It almost reminds me of taking care of the person behind you. Haven't you heard, you know, somebody, if you're going through the dry cleaner, you're going to get some coffee, pay for the coffee of the person behind
you.
You know, a little act of charity or something that's unanticipated.
Well, I think, you know, that's true. And I think it also brings out and brings to mind, you know, the very action of Jesus, because we always have to look at him as the one who fulfills his own word. I mean, if he's telling us this story, this parable, we can also find it in himself. And we see in the Gospel of St. John where he says Jesus loved his own and he loved them to the end. You know, he went all the way. And so this parable brings that out very clearly. The man concretely picked him up, put him on his animal, took him to the inn, cared for him, and then said to the end, if I owe you anything on my return, I will pay it. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a half measure.
Right.
And so sometimes, again, love is not just a little compassion or a little thought, but it's sticking with it to the end. And Jesus mm-hmm. showed that no greater love than to give your life.
Mm-hmm.
And we put so many limitations on our own time, you know, on our own schedules and activities that we miss the treasure of life and the treasure of our faith, our God, our religion is to love God and love the neighbor concretely to the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is a
if I could
message.
Share a little experience, maybe because sometimes I, you know, I was when I was a young priest, I was in the church one day, and I was setting up for a retreat that evening, and I was very busy, and we had banners, and we had everything going, and we'd make sure the air conditioner was on, you know, very focused on this evening of reflection for the parish.
And the task.
And I was task-oriented, mm-hmm. exactly. So this lady came in, and it was Monday, and she wanted to know if there were any bulletins left over in the church from last Sunday. And so I pointed, well, you know, maybe at the door in the front. So she went over there and she came back, said, no, there's no bulletins. And the theme of this whole thing was he loved his own. He loved them to the end. And so then I said, well, maybe on the side door. And so she went over to the side door and came back and said, there's no bulletins. And I kept thinking, this lady's really in my way because I need to get this done. But I kept looking at that banner. He loved them to the end. And so I said, well, maybe there's some in the sacristy. It's locked, so I'll go. So I went with the key and opened the sacristy, and no bulletins. And I thought, okay, I can just say, well, there's no bulletins. I'm sorry. But I knew there were some at the rectory, at the house, at the offices. So I kept looking at that sign, and I kept saying, he loved them to the end. Don't you get it?
Until, task completion.
Until she has a bulletin in her hands, you have not loved her to the end.
Right.
You've been focused on what you want to do. And so I said, come with me, and went over there. It's a simple story, but I think it's always kind of been a reflection for me how we can get so focused, as the two other people were in this parable, on our own needs, our own wants, desires, tasks, that we miss the neighbor. And it's funny how that story is probably 30 years old, but it's as fresh today as then, because it's really the living of the gospel. So I would encourage all of us today, as you hear this gospel, to put aside, you know, your little tasks and see who the neighbor is and what's awaiting you as you love God by loving your neighbor, and the joy that you receive, because it is a joy to love. Mm-hmm. And to receive the joy of loving that neighbor today who's right in front of you. Don't miss them. They're right there in front of you.
They're right there, and they're present. Well, that's beautiful. We are going to take a short break, and we will be right back to continue our conversation.
One of Corpus Christi's newest parishes, Nuestra Señora de San Juan de los Lagos, Madre de la Iglesia, invites everyone to their annual banquet on August 30th at Mansion Royal, 8001 South Padre Allen Drive. It'll be a night to remember, a night of entertainment, delightful dinner, and dancing with music by Tradición de Colombia, and a DJ playing a variety of international music. Doors open at 6:30, followed by dinner at 7:00. For banquet tickets and more information, call the church office, 852-0249.
The 4th Annual Church and Community Rummage Sale at Vautman Hall is sponsored by the Women's Club of Our Lady of Consolation. The date is Saturday, July 27th from 8 a.m. till 3 p.m. They'll be accepting clean, unbroken, saleable items and will have community booths available, mostly inside, which means air conditioning. To get there, travel south of Kingsville on Highway 77 about 12 miles, then 5 miles east on FM 628. It's well worth the trip. For complete information, call Teresa May, 361-296-4642.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Before the break, we were talking about the gospel and the story of the Good Samaritan, and of course, the message about charity and mercy. So why don't we talk about that a little bit more?
Well, you know, I think sometimes we separate the two, that mercy is something different from charity, and yet mercy is the highest expression of charity, because God has shown his love by sending his son. And who is his son but Jesus Christ, who has died for us to redeem us? And so Jesus himself is the height of expression of God's love, which is mercy. And so it's in that mercy shown in God the Father in sending his son that we really receive mercy.
Right, right. And then, you know, you've talked about this on previous programs. You know, it's easy to show mercy when people are nice back to you or kind back to you, but it's really the challenge for us to show mercy when people aren't as kind or as we were talking about, you know, somebody cuts in front of you as you're driving. You know, that's a lot more difficult to do. So how do we work through that?
Exactly. Well, you know, you have to, I'd say, first and foremost, stay connected to the first commandment to love God.
Right.
I heard it said once, you know, it's like a hose connected to the bib at the wall,
right,
the outside wall in your garden. If you don't keep the hose connected to the faucet, the water runs all over the place. And so it's too for us, if we don't stay connected to the source of mercy, the source of love, we'll never learn to be merciful. And so for us, obviously, that's time with God. You know,
right.
We have to give God that time. In fact, I just saw this week Pope Benedict had said something about the Christians need to recuperate an exterior silence and an interior silence in order to know God from within, in the presence of God. It's not just about, you know, the activities that we do for God, but it's knowing God within. So spending time with that first commandment to love God, and then listening to the gospel. I mean, Jesus himself said, if you only love those who love you, what good is there in that? You know, even the hypocrites can do that. What I say to you is to love your enemy. And there is really the test.
Right.
That neighbor that is the enemy, which again can be your next door neighbor that you love very much, your husband, your wife, your child. But in any moment, you know, when they'll go against me or they're challenging me or call me a name, I mean, in a sense, you know, stretching it a bit, they're an enemy.
Right.
But to show mercy even then mm-hmm. is really the test. And the strengthening as an athlete, St. Paul used to use the image of an athlete. It's really practicing to love our neighbor because we are showing the love of God to them without expecting anything in return. That's mm-hmm. that's really where it's all at.
Mm-hmm. And would that be saying, too, that you may not agree with what other people are doing, because we can't all agree with everything, but we can be kind and show mercy to them.
Sure.
And treat them as we would want to be treated.
Right.
When we're working with them. Or
right. And then I would also add to that is to not the next minute go talk behind their back.
Exactly.
I mean, I think we can do that, you know, in front of somebody or in a group. We can be nice. We can be kind. But as soon as we're with that comfort group, mm-hmm. we might stab somebody in the back. And that is undoing
exactly.
any kind of mercy that we may have shown. And our intent has to be pure right. In this. And I always find that as a challenge is, you know, to really love because God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we love, the more that we know God's presence in our life. So we have to be pure in our intentions.
Mm-hmm. And if we do have those negative thoughts, then it's almost like it's like we're being negative toward God.
Sure, sure, absolutely, yeah, yeah. If you can't love the God, if you can't love the person you can see, St. Mm-hmm. John says, how can you love the God you cannot see?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's I don't know how to put it. It's like a real test.
I was about to say
it's a real test. But it's our life. You know, it's our stadium. If you want to look at Christianity as that athletic event, spiritual athleticism, if that's the word, the neighbor and these kind of rapports is really our stadium. And that's where we learn the mm-hmm. love of God. And the more that we love as God loves mm-hmm. and as God has loved us, the more we really believe in the presence of God in our life and in our world.
Mm-hmm. And as it was said in the gospel, that's the way to eternal life, is to show mercy and love.
Exactly.
Your neighbor.
Exactly. Absolutely. Go and do the same.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so now we know how to do that in our daily lives, is to look at everybody and show love and mercy.
Right.
And not talk behind their backs.
Right.
Because that's undoing the good
sure.
in the beginning.
Right.
So, well, thank you for that. Well, I don't want the program to end without hearing about your trip to Rome. I know you've been looking forward to this reunion for quite a while because it was your 35th anniversary of your ordination.
Correct.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
So, how many of your classmates showed up and did you have an opportunity to see Pope Benedict?
Yes, on all accounts, there were 19 of us.
Wow.
Out of, I think, 38. So it was quite a number. And it was just, you know, I think at a certain point in your life, when you get to our age, you just kind of sit there. And sometimes at breakfast, we stayed in a new part of the seminary in Rome where we all studied. So we were actually in the place where we studied, the seminary. Wow. So it was great to have those memories. But sitting around at breakfast, you know, we would start telling stories and remember this and remember that and just connecting,
right.
you know, and these are 9 bishops and mm-hmm. Professors in universities. And as everyone has to have that silly side. I mean,
right.
there was just
right.
a lot of that, a lot of charity, but it was quite silly.
Fun charity.
That it was, yeah. it was quite a fun. And then we had some moments of prayer on the 29th of June, which is the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Of course, it's a holiday in Rome because mm-hmm. they are the saints of Rome. And that's our anniversary. So right. we were able to attend what's called the Pallium Mass, which mm-hmm. is the sign of an archbishop. And there were 3 Americans mm-hmm. who were there. And so we attended that Mass where the Pope gives to the archbishops their pallium, which is their symbol.
Right.
It's around their neck. And it's placed on the tomb of St. Peter prior to being given to them. So it's quite symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there for that Mass. Mm-hmm. And so we saw Pope Benedict there. And also the night before, I forgot to mention, we were invited to the embassy of the American ambassador to the Vatican. So most people
wow.
probably don't know, but the Vatican being a city-state
right.
and the Pope as head of government,
mm-hmm.
that government, it has an ambassador. And so we were at Ambassador and Mrs. Diaz's home, or it's the embassy's home, to congratulate the 3 archbishops. And so it was nice to be there
right.
and then, of course, attend the Mass. And then we attended the banquet afterwards. And it was just nice being, you know, being there. Then we had a Mass at St. Paul's outside the walls. So we were also at the tomb of St. Paul
right.
On the 2nd, I believe, of July. And me being the baby bishop of the group, asked me to say the Mass, and that was quite moving to be there where St. Paul was buried and to say the Mass there. And I would want everybody to know, all our listeners, that I prayed for all of us as a city, as a diocese, at both tombs, at the tomb of St. Peter to increase our faith and to and St. Paul to purify our faith so that we can really live as God intended us to as disciples of Christ. So it was a wonderful time. And given the fact that one of the classmates works in the Vatican, we were able to have two of them actually do. And we were able to have a dinner in the Papal Gardens at Castel Gandolfo, which is the summer residence.
Oh, yes.
So just to be out there and sitting in the garden where the Pope sits when he's there and enjoying the view and just a dinner by under the tent. And it was just a very, very relaxing and kind of rejuvenating moment for us. And I guess anybody who's our age at 60, you begin to say, let's not wait 10 years next time. Let's do it in five.
Exactly.
Let's do it again, you know. So
right.
We were laughing about that. So, and then on Wednesday, I'm kind of jumping around here, but we did go to the papal audience in St. Peter Square, and at the Pope greets each of the bishops individually. And so,
you're close to the front.
Well, yes, in the heat. Of course, it was burning hot, and thank God they gave us umbrellas, so it was a little bit easier. But so anyway, I got to go up and shake his hand and tell him where I was from and that we were all praying for him, because these are difficult times for him, too.
Yes.
So I greeted him in the name of all of us. And I also, for those of you who might be parishioners at St. Patrick's, I was sitting up there, and when I heard that it was announced that there was a group from St. Patrick's Parish in Corpus Christi, Texas, I almost fell off the chair, and the other bishops were poking me, saying, did you know they were? I said, well, no. And then I thought, I do remember that Father Zare was going to take a group. So I wish we had connected. I kind of looked around the piazza afterwards, but I never saw anybody. So, and they probably didn't know I was there. But anyway, it was wonderful.
Oh, I bet.
Being there. And
isn't that true? Small world.
It is.
You are all the way in Rome, and there's one of the parishes.
One of the parishes right there. And so it was great.
Yeah,
really wonderful.
Good.
I got to sit next to Bishop Vasquez and my former parish, my former diocese, and the new bishop there. So we had a great visit.
Well, welcome back, and thank you for our prayers.
Sure.
On our behalf.
Absolutely. Always.
Would you mind closing with a prayer?
Certainly.
For all of us?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet. It helps us to walk in this world, not only in the way of comfort, but also in the way of truth. As we encounter neighbors each day, we ask you to help us to see that this is our opportunity to love you by loving our neighbor. May we do so this week and see that each neighbor is an opportunity to love you. Bless our families and all those who are in need of our prayers today and always. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us on this beautiful Sunday. Have a safe rest of your weekend and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.